fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and hope you're having a good start of a new day. I want to continue to talk about Paul's teaching in the first chapter of his letter to the Ephesians. Before I do, I just want to encourage you, I've been talking about it all week long. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The radio programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer or download them on whatever device you're able to do that. Listen to them at your leisure. And take time to browse the website. I really encourage you to do it. I know you will be encouraged if you do it. There's a lot of free material there. There's information about our international missions and stories, the amazing things that God is doing in those missions. There's free booklets and teaching that's there. Our television programs are there. So take some time to browse the website. And if you're interested in having any of us from the ministry, whether it's Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, myself, my wife Debbie, Peter Burak, and others to come and to share, speak at your parish or do a men's retreat or women's retreat, a marriage weekend or anything like that, that's the place you can contact us. All our information is there on the website. Okay, back to St. Paul. I ended yesterday's program, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And Paul's just completing a section here in this beautiful hymn, really is what it is, of thanksgiving to God. And in so doing, Paul declares to each and every one, every person who is baptized into Christ who's reading this, or anyone who picks this up and reads it, can see, with the help of the Holy Spirit, in Paul's words, a declaration of what Christ has done for us, which is what is the starting point. It's very important for us to keep in mind that what's most important is what God has done for us. We have to put first things first, not what we're supposed to do for God, but we have to get clear what he's done for us, who we are in Christ, who he is. That's the foundation of everything. And then our response to him is also very important, what it is he's called us to do. But until we know who he is and what he's done for us, it's very difficult to see and to understand, to grasp, to be motivated, and to have the strength to be able to live the way of life that he's calling us to live. That's why we're seeing so many people, or one of the fundamental reasons why we're seeing so many people, are walking away from the faith. People who know Christ, people who really have come to, really have become a disciple, that is, they've by God's grace and in seeking and hungering after God, they've heard the gospel. They know who Christ is, his majesty, his power, his glory, and what he's done for us in his passion, death, and resurrection, have internalized it and are growing in him and growing in faith. And that faith conviction is alive in them. It's the faith that John, the beloved apostle, it's in one of his letters later in the New Testament here, is that what overcomes the world, part of the battle we've been talking about, the way of life that is in flight from God in the culture today, that's just the world again. That's this fallen world. It's the dimension of God's good creation that's fallen and under the dominion of the enemy. John, that same apostle, would say the whole world's in the power of the devil. Did I get that right? Was it John? I think so. Maybe not, but I know it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. But what John does say is that Jesus came, the reason the Son of God came in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, is to destroy the works of the devil. So this is a fallen world. This is the dominion of the enemy, this part of this whole world that we inhabit. And he's constantly trying to lead us away from Christ. And it requires vigilance and clarity of mind. And it's faith, John tells us, that overcomes the world. It's faith because faith is what unites us to Christ, believing in him, trusting him, saying yes to him, and being united to Jesus. We're being united to the one who has destroyed the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what's most fundamental. But our faith is also a way of seeing and a way of knowing, and it allows us to see the deception of the world and to resist the work and the temptation of the devil and to stay on the path of following Christ. Faith gives us light in the darkness. And the fallen world is a place of darkness. It's a place of darkness because it's a place where God, the light of Christ and God, is not welcome. It's where the flag of the king cannot be planted. It's a place where the devil works overtime to try to scrub out every kind of reference to God any respect for God, any truth about God. It's one simple test. You can say, where's the world in this? What's the part of the dimension of our existence in this world? Where's the fallen world? Well, one place for sure is where you can't plant the flag of Christ. We can't even speak his name. And the boundaries, that you might say that the sheer geography of that world seems to be increasing today. That is, the sheer number of places that refuse to allow Christ's name to be spoken, which is, it's insane, it's insanity. It really is an expression of a darkened mind, the futility of a darkened mind, when the one through whom all things were made and for which all things were made, literally the Lord of all, we boldly, in places in the world today, use all energy, power, even intimidation is necessary to prevent his name or even his values from being mentioned. That's the fallen world. So Paul, in this first section, he ends this section of spiritual blessings in Christ by saying, in him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's the game changer. As my friend Peter Burak wrote a little booklet about it. I encourage you to go to our website. I think you can get it for free. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the game changer because it's the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that we're born again into a new way of life and we become children of God. But he's the power. He's the power of Christ risen in us, which makes it possible for us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So no matter what society becomes, no matter how much it resists God, you have the power within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's a fact. The Spirit of God puts you directly in touch with Jesus Christ, who reigns at the right hand of the Father. You're under his lordship. You're under his power. So it's crucial, to, as Scripture says, to set your eyes on things above on a daily basis. Set your eyes on Christ. And he said, not of this world. Don't keep your eyes fixed on this world. Because what'll happen is, in the struggles and the failures and the weaknesses of the temptations of this life, and the mind of this world, you'll begin to, without even thinking about it, limit your horizon, limit your sense of possibility to what you can see and touch and grasp here on this earth to your own resources. Set your mind on things above. See where your life is headed. See the one who now has you in the palm of his hand. That's crucial to being able to live a new way of life. And so Paul then says, he goes into another section, and you can see now how important it is to be able to live in the way he's calling us to understand that we're chosen and destined, to understand that we've been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory, and to be able to live for the praise of his glory, that is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to live a life in obedience to him, which is fundamentally revealed in the great commandment, the great commission, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and to join the Lord and to run with him as he goes out across the world to seek and save the lost. This is what he wants and the Holy Spirit wants to put in your heart, because that's where Jesus is and that's where he wants to lead you. And to say, okay, how do I love God concretely in this world? How do I love my neighbor? You're put on this earth for that reason. Jesus makes it possible for you to see the value of it and to walk in it, and therefore to reach the fulfillment, the reason for which you have been made. So keep your eyes on him so you can continue to see how valuable that is. So Paul now declares to us what's on his heart and what he prays for. He prays that you and I, we can all see who Jesus really is. That's foundational. It's key. So let me just begin to read this section. Verse 15 and following. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, the Father of glory, he said, such a beautiful phrase, title, he's the Father of all glory, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Such an important thing to pray for your own life, for your spouse, for your children, and establishing the domestic church in your home, it's crucial that each of you receive the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to see the foundation of it all, to be given knowledge, wisdom, revelation, the revelation of Jesus, who Scripture says is the wisdom and the knowledge of God. All of God's wisdom is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why the special mission of the Spirit is to reveal to your heart and the heart of your children and your family and your friends and your spouse the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ, His Lordship, His power. So Paul will go on. So Paul's praying that you receive that kind of knowledge. And again, I've mentioned this a few times over the last few weeks, the image of St. Francis, the beautiful, simple, Christ-like brother who 800 years after he died is still fascinating millions and millions of people and inspiring millions and millions of people to imitate him as he imitates Christ. He used to kneel before the cross in the morning, begin his day and say, God, Father, who are you and who am I? It's not just data in our minds that we read from a book. It's knowing him personally, getting a revelation from God of what his fatherhood means and his power and glory and majesty and what that means for your life. So Paul's praying for this knowledge for what? So you can have the eyes, so that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened. We see from the heart, we see and experience God in the depths of our being, in the core, the seed of our decision, our identity, our core from which we move and we will and we make decisions and we grasp. And so Paul is saying that part of you that's capable of seeing from the depths of your being, I pray that he would shed his light into your heart. This refers to there's a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that I've spoken about in the past. I'll pick up maybe next week that parallels this passage to see what Paul means by having your heart enlightened. He goes on, he said, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, which he has called you. Now remember in the first section here, in the beginning of this chapter, he declared to those who have first hoped in Christ, you have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of your glory. Here Paul is saying, I pray that you will be able to see this hope to which you're called, that it becomes real for you, that it becomes incarnated in you, and you come alive to it, that it radically transforms your whole horizon, your whole outlook on life, so that it begins to seep its way into every dimension of your existence. Father, a husband, a friend, a mentor, a business partner, an executive, whatever it is that you are, all the dimensions of what you are, this reality is meant to seep into all of that so your life is integrated, that you really are integrated into all that God has made you to be. Your life is in harmony with the purpose for which you've been made and the reality which Christ has brought you into. Friends, I'm going to continue to take this up tomorrow. God bless you. I hope this becomes a deep reality in your lived experience. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.